Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. What a thrill it is for me on this show. I am so delighted to have this gentleman on the air. 25 Emmy Awards. Just think about that. Think about Nightline for, I believe that show ran for 1,000 years. Nightline ran on ABC. And he's with us right now. I'm talking about Ted Koppel. Ted, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. There, that'll help if we hit
go. I was just saying, you realize you are nothing without Rob Spiewak.
That's right. I say that every day, Ted. Ted, I would have had you on this show under any circumstances, but when I heard about the work you're doing to raise awareness of COPD, which for those of you that might not know is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, this became personal for me because I lost my father 1993 at the age of 77. Back then, we didn't know anything about it. I mean, there was nothing about it. There wasn't even a term for it. And I am delighted that you are shedding light on it because there's so much we need to know. And that's why you're here. And Ted Koppel, what an honor. Thanks so much for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, you're nice to do that. And I couldn't be more delighted to help shed a little bit of light because, as you undoubtedly know, there are 15 million people in this country, 15 million, who have been identified with COPD. And the estimate is that there are another 16 million who have it but don't know it. Think about that. 31 million people. So, your experience with your dad is almost certainly the experience that almost everybody in this country has in terms of knowing someone in their immediate circle who's had COPD. And it kills 150,000 Americans a year. I realize for people who tune in and want to get a couple of laughs on your program, that's not exactly the way to do it. But it's a terribly important subject, and I'm glad you're focusing a little bit of attention on it.
Well, I wanted to, and I've been an admirer of yours. You wouldn't remember this, but on the campus of American University, I think you were outside the NPR studios in Washington, and you took time to speak to me and another guy that got into the business, Jeff Newman, and we were always just really delighted that you had taken the time to talk to a few journalism students, and it was a great memory for me. My question, when did you first become aware that your wife, Grace Ann, had a problem? If you can briefly take us through that and how that whole thing transpired.
Yeah, actually, we were over in Europe on a vacation on 9/11 in 2001. And obviously, all of the attention at that time was on the terrible events of 9/11. My focus, I'm afraid, was on the fact that my wife couldn't walk more than 50 yards without having to sit down and catch her breath. And so I said, as soon as we get back to the United States, and we really have to get you examined and find out what's wrong. And she had just, before we went on vacation, she had gone to our family doctor, who knew that she had trouble breathing, who gave her a complete physical, and in effect said to her, lose 10 pounds, you'll feel like a new woman. We went out to the Mayo Clinic, and it was at the Mayo Clinic that she was diagnosed as having severe COPD. And when she asked that obvious question that people tend to ask, all right, what does that mean for me? How much time do I have? They told her, you need to start making end-of-life preparations in 3 to 5 years.
Oh,
again,
my God.
That was 17 years ago.
Wow.
So the good news is, even though it is an incurable disease, and that's tragically the first thing that most doctors tell you, you've got an incurable disease. What they don't tell you is you've also got a treatable disease. And because Grace Ann is a good Catholic schoolgirl who did everything the nuns told her to do. You know, she has been doing that, and here she is 17 years after she was told she had 3 to 5 years left to live, and she's still going strong.
Why does something that affects so many people, I think I read, is it the number three killer in this country?
Yes, it is the number three killer, you know, cancer and heart disease being one and two.
Why does something affecting so many people get so little attention, where we need a Ted Koppel to get out there on CBS Sunday morning and tell us about it? Why so little attention for this?
Well, first of all, I think there is an association of guilt there. You know, you were probably a smoker. You brought it on yourself.
My dad was a smoker. Yeah, absolutely.
2 points. Mm-hmm. 2 points, though. 25% of the people who have COPD never smoked a cigarette in their lives.
That's
stunning.
And
point number two, you know, this guilt association business is something we need to drop with regard to COPD. We don't go around telling heart patients, you know, if you hadn't hit Mickey D's 3 times a week, if you weren't drinking, you know, a quart of Pepsi every day, if you didn't eat ice cream 3 times a week, maybe you wouldn't have gotten that heart disease that you have right now. You know, we can't focus only on what people have done that has brought this on themselves. Fact of the matter is, most of us who spent our lives sunbathing, and as a result of it got, you know, 1 degree or another of skin cancer, don't want to be told it's your own damn fault.
The best part of your story is that your wife has done so well. When I was researching this interview, I found myself checking dates and bylines to see how is she doing right now? What is because she's
well,
been amazingly
successful. As a
matter
successful. Of fact, we, you know, she just yesterday had her biannual checkup, and she's doing fine. Back in 2001, when she was first diagnosed with COPD, she had 26% of predicted lung capacity. 26%. She is now back up around 50% and has managed to keep it there for several years now. That's a hell of a lot better. She can, you know, except for flying on a plane, she doesn't need oxygen anymore. There was a period for almost 3 years when she was on oxygen full time, 24 hours a day.
That is stunning. And of course, when my dad was diagnosed, they didn't even know what it was. They said, maybe it's emphysema, maybe it's, I remember the big question marks with doctors. What does someone do if they think they or a loved one have this condition, have COPD? What's the first thing you would recommend they do?
I would recommend they go see a pulmonologist. Okay. But even if they, you know, even if they only go to see their family doctor, insist on being tested for COPD. And you just made a passing reference, Rob, to I'm Mike, I'm sorry.
That's okay, Ted.
You made a passing. You see, I've got Rob on the brain because he's been pestering me now for about 3 months.
I've got Rob on the brain because I look at a TV monitor and I have his giant head in my face every day, so I see that.
There you go. That's the way I can. You know, the first thing to do is to be tested to see if you have COPD. And part of the problem is people tend to be diagnosed with it late in life. They tend to be diagnosed with it when they're already in their late 50s or 60s or 70s. If they could be diagnosed earlier, if they could be diagnosed, for example, in their 40s, it's possible with the help of the proper inhalers, and I want to emphasize this more than anything else, with pulmonary rehabilitation, which means you exercise under the supervision of professionals. And basically, the exercise is fairly benign. It means getting on a treadmill, and initially, you may be working out at a very, very slow and easy level, but you build it up, and you maintain that. Grace Ann exercises every single day of her life. She goes down on that treadmill that we have down in the basement, and she works out on that for usually half an hour, 45 minutes every single day. And that, together with taking her inhalations in exactly the correct fashion, has kept her alive and kept her well.
How does this work with this cause? And we've only got you for a short period of time. I want to ask you about lots of other stuff that one would ask Ted Koppel about. How does your work with this cause compare with all the other incredible things you've done in your career?
Well, it clearly means a lot more to a great many more vulnerable people. I must say there may have been millions of people who watch Nightline, but I doubt that any one of those programs meant as much to people. My wife and I have a family foundation. We have opened up 11 pulmonary rehabilitation centers, most of them in West Virginia. We're just opening one in Kentucky. We have one in North Carolina, one in Louisiana, and one in Southern Maryland. And the people who go to those pulmonary rehab centers report such enormously positive results. I can't stress that enough, and there simply aren't enough of these pulmonary rehab centers around the country. And not only are there not enough, but the reimbursement rate that some of these hospitals get for giving someone pulmonary rehab is roughly half what they get for cardiac rehabilitation, which is essentially the same thing. Right. There shouldn't be any cost difference whatsoever.
It's just I'm thinking as we're doing this interview, I really hope in our listening audience that some people are impacted by this immediately. I think that's going to happen, and I think that's a thrill, and you're doing great stuff, and really continue to do it. On to the state, Ted, of journalism in this country. The news media.
From one disaster to another.
The news media, you know this, have been under fire for a while with the fake news, accusations. How do you feel that the journalists on all the platforms are doing now? Well, I think we know how you feel about Sean Hannity, but how do you feel that we are doing in the world of journalism right now? Because they have been under fire. What do you think the state of journalism is currently?
Well, you know, when you say all the platforms, Mike, you're in effect underscoring what one of the biggest problems is. There are so many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds right. of thousands of mm-hmm. platforms, because anybody with access to the internet, anybody with access to a laptop computer is capable of starting his or her own news operation. It can be the most amateurish, or maybe not even amateurish, literally, you know, when we talk about fake news, there are millions of examples of real fake news out there. Right. Is the New York Times the biggest example? Hell no. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, no, they are not the biggest examples of fake news. You know, what we have is, and it sounds like a good thing, but it's not. What we have is a total democratization of news. And what that means is that anybody, with or without any professional training whatsoever, with or without any professional sense of ethics whatsoever, can get the word out there. And part of that has resulted in a great deal of confusion about what's real and what's not.
These are interesting times that we're living in right now. Have you ever seen anything like this, like what we are experiencing now? Are there any parallels in with your long career
there are certainly parallels from a political sense. I mean, the McCarthy era was similar in the sense that a great deal of lies were propagated by some unscrupulous people out there, led by Senator Joe McCarthy, and a lot of lives were ruined, a lot of careers were destroyed. But the fact of the matter is, back then, the capacity to spread fake news was, the tiniest fraction of what it is today.
And you had access. I think that was probably someone doing a show like yours, Nightline, when there weren't 1,000, 10,000 people out there trying to grab the same people. You had tremendous access. I would imagine that when Nightline called, it was a pretty powerful deal for the subjects that you had on that show.
Well, it was, because you have to remember, back in 1980 when Nightline began, CNN had just gone on the air. MSNBC didn't exist. Satellite television was in its infancy. The internet did not exist in the sense that it was accessible to the public at large. So all the many, many outlets that exist today were still in the process of being born. So back then it was ABC, CBS, and NBC. And Nightline at 11:30 at night was the only television program on the air that covered the news at 11:30 at night. So, you know, if you somehow missed the news on ABC, NBC, or CBS at 6:30 or 7, there was no place else to go late in the evening to figure out what was going on. So you're right. When Nightline called, you know, the most important people in the country said, absolutely, what time do you need me to be there?
I don't. I know people that do what you do don't like to single out individuals, but I know when I'm sitting there watching the news or I'm watching someone on the tube and I say, now that's it. Now that's the right question. That's what I'm sure you're Ted Koppel. You're a human being. You have moments like that. Are there any journalists working today that stand out in your mind that are doing particularly good work?
I'm not going to do it in terms of journalists, but it's funny because this morning I was listening, as I do most mornings, to NPR. And they were doing a couple of terrific pieces that were, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes long. And I turned to my wife and said, that's what needs to be done on television.
Yeah, that's
isn't
true.
Being done.
Yeah.
So, yes, I, you know, let's give a tip of the hat to NPR and PBS. You know, they're still doing a terrific job. And yes, there are, you know, there are people on the networks who are still doing a good job, but everybody is in such a tremendous battle to make money these days. You know, it may sound naive to say that because there actually was a time, you know, back in the 60s and even into the 70s, when the notion of a news division making money was just sort of strange. We didn't think about that. And the networks didn't think about that. There was sort of a deal out there. You go ahead, you can make your hundreds of millions of dollars with I Love Lucy and 77 Sunset Strip and Dragnet or whatever other program you want to put out there, but we also expect that you have a full-fledged news division doing what a news division should do, giving the American public the information it needs to have for a functioning democracy.
There's a viral video that circulated around with Ted Koppel and Sean Hannity about a year ago when you were on that program. I think you were on. Were you on his or was he on? No, of course you were in his world.
Actually, I was doing a piece for the CBS.
You did a piece
Sunday
on it, that's right.
Show. We were doing it on his set, but it was my
on his set. That's
I
right.
was interviewing him.
When you go into an interview like that, you kind of know what's going to happen. Do you steel yourself for battle when you go into that world? Because what came out of it was it was a viral video where you're saying it bad for America and that type of moment. What was it like dealing with him as an individual? Because you don't get a lot of profiles on a guy like a Sean Hannity, and I'm curious what that experience was like for you.
Actually, I've known Sean for many years, and we've always had a pleasant relationship. And ironically, it wasn't particularly skillful interviewing on my part, and I didn't go in there with an agenda to get him to say something like that.
Right.
He raised the question. He put it to me and said, "You think I'm bad for America, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." and then it was incumbent on me to explain why.
I want you back on television every night. If Ted Koppel was teaching my journalism class, he probably would tell me not to ask this next question, but I have to do it because I've got you. And when I get somebody, I have to ask the typical question. Was
hey,
there
Mike,
a
hey, Mike, yeah, Mike, hold it.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
ask that question.
I'm asking it anyway, and you would tell me to do that anyway. Was there a single story, and I'm not just including Nightline, I'm talking about when you go all the way back to the early days when you were working on ABC, was there a single story you covered that stands out in your career? Not necessarily at how it impacted America, but just personally how it affected you.
You know, as you can imagine, I'm asked that question quite a bit, and
I spent
the better part of 3 years in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. Clearly, that had an enormous impact on me. I've covered, depending on what classifies as a war. I've covered, you know, 8 to 10 of them over the years. When Nightline spent a week in South Africa, really as apartheid was just beginning to crumble, and we got the South African government to agree to put some of its senior representatives on the air with black leaders in South Africa. That was a huge deal. I was with Mikhail Gorbachev, sitting across from him in the Kremlin, in his office, as he was on the phone with George H.W. Bush saying goodbye. On the last day of the Soviet Union, he and I watched the Soviet flag come down over the Kremlin for the last time, and the Russian flag being rehoisted after 70 years. That, you know, those were big moments. I was with Nelson Mandela, you know, a couple of days after he came out of prison. I was the first person to interview him in Winnie Mandela's garden in Soweto. You know, that's what makes journalism such an extraordinary profession, because people who, under normal circumstances, you know, wouldn't get within a mile of these events or these people are given leeway to be a tiny part of history.
Now, you know, measured, fair, a calming voice. That those are my memories of you on the air, Ted. And oh, by the way, you still riding a motorcycle? Are you still a biker?
No, I gave that up about 2 years ago when I started getting nervous. You know, the minute you get nervous and the minute you feel your reflexes are not what they once were, it's time to put the bike away.
Well, you are so kind to have taken the time with us. I want to make sure that we get the information out on COPD. It's the copdfoundation.org. You can find out more about that. And Ted, fill in the blanks if I'm missing anything or anything that people need to know about COPD before we let you go.
No. You're doing fine. The important thing is you got to understand right now it's the number three killer among major chronic diseases. Number three killer. Where does it rank in terms of funding by NIH, that is by the National Institutes of Health? 155th. We got to turn that around.
I hope we do, and with your work, that's going to happen. Ted Koppel, I don't say it lightly. It is truly an honor having you on the program, and I wish you and your lovely wife, Grace Ann, nothing but success in the future, and thank you so, so much for taking the time to come on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're very kind, and I really do have to say, your buddy Rob Spiewak is the biggest pain in the ass I've ever known.
He's right here, Ted.
Yes,
he's right here. I know he bothered you because well, his boss came to him, Ted, and said, get me Ted Koppel with the whole COPD thing. I said, I need to speak to this man, and I know he pestered you, and that's why. Well, that's what we have to do with our little engine to get somebody up.
He's terrific. I definitely wouldn't have been here without him.
He's
a treasure. Hold on to him.
Hey, you know, for the next two weeks, you're absolutely right.
Couldn't have come at a better time, Ted. Thank you.
Ted Koppel, God bless you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's
awesome.
Wow.
I get to get up in the morning, and Rob did. Oscar.
Yeah.
How about that? Our boy getting the...
That's a legend.
Did you see that one coming?
Not at all.
You had said to me... I have to pull the curtain back.
Please
here.
Do.
Every
please
time
do.
We talk about Rob, it's like, Rob, you have to show more initiative. You have to do this or that. Right there. Do you realize what he did for your stock in this world right now?
I had two favorite moments in the interview. When he said you were doing fine, because that had to make you feel 10 feet tall, and when he called me a pain in the ass. I mean, these are two moments that we're going to put in our bucket
list. To
be
your ringtone.
Yeah.
I've told this story on the air that a bunch of us were hanging out of 61 WAMU, and we were hanging out, and there was Ted Koppel in a limousine going back to ABC when he was doing Nightline.
Yeah.
And we sat there, and he chatted with us just like he was a regular dude. And, you know, how about how... He lists the accomplishments at the end of that interview where he's just telling you what he was a part of.
Oh, I know.
It's just a real exciting moment for me as a guy that was, has been into broadcast journalism my whole life to get a guy like that. But Rob had to, I don't know how many emails you had to send. I think we started
in November swapping emails, and he's been teaching at Stanford, and he refused to do it on West Coast time. His quote was, "You guys are great, but not 6 a.m. great." So, and you know, one thing we did not get to, I know, like when I came in, I had to explain to Andrea who Ted Koppel was and how important he was
because he's been out of the limelight that long, where there are many people in our audience that won't remember Ted Koppel, which is just
When I was doing the research, it blew my mind. His big break, he came to the national consciousness on radio covering the assassination of JFK
with Charles Osgood.
Yes. And then he was supposed to do a short report, and it turned out he had to fill 90 minutes. And like a pro, he filled 90 minutes. Ooh, and so, I mean, just unbelievable. It's such a neat
guy. Do you remember him, Oscar? Do you remember Ted Koppel?
Oh, yeah. I grew up with him every night. It was Tom Brokaw, and then Ted Koppel would be on, depending on how my dad felt in the evening, what network he was going to go with.
Yeah, because this is the way Nightline rolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a national story, if they got a great get, it would be Nightline. Otherwise, a lot of people would go to the late night talk shows. But Nightline was, it was either a huge story of the day, mm-hmm. which they would cover, or it was an amazing get, an amazing interview where everybody would. Nightline's ratings, I don't know the history of the ratings, but I think they would spike when you would get that big person that would come on.
And it had its roots in a great cause. Nightline started as a nightly report on the hostages in Iran mm-hmm. in 1980. And it turned out, it almost started as a special. And it turned out that it had such a good fit at ABC Late Night, it turned into a series.
And so if everybody's out there, I know we do get the people that say, oh, you get all heavy at that first part of the interview. The reason we did get Ted Koppel is because, as it turned out, my father, after he passed, it was determined that that's what he had suffered from.
Mm-hmm.
It might have extended his life significantly in the event that they had the rehabilitation and the medicines that were there. The doctors, and even as soon as Ted Koppel's wife had it, they kind of threw their arms up and go, I don't know.
Yeah.
They really don't get it. They still don't get it because it just doesn't get the attention, but they're doing great work. And when I saw that on, I think it was CBS Sunday morning, and I told you the next day when I came in, we got to go out and get this guy. But that's just one where I've had a lot going on in my life the last couple of days, but I got out of bed this morning and was very, very excited. And what do you think? What do you think about what Ted said about him being tenacious and persistent and aggressive?
I believe he called me a treasure of our verticals. That'd be amazing.
And I just think I'm only 25. I'm only 25 Emmy Awards.
Did you hear what he just said? Understand what that means?
I heard
right?
everything. I hear everything. I'm only 25 Emmy Awards and 3 Peabodys away from tying Ted Koppel. So let's get started.
Yay, let's start the show. Yay, we're right.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Welcome to the Identity Processing Program of America. Please insert your forearm into the forearm receptacle. Thank you. Please speak your name as it appears on your current federal identity card. Document number G24LA.
Well, I'm not sure if
you have entered the name
Not Sure.
Is this correct?
Not sure.
No, it's not correct.
Thank you.
Not
is correct. Is
sure
correct?
No, it's not. My name is
already
Joe.
Already confirmed. Your first name is
Not.
Please confirm your last name. Sure.
My last name is Not Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
No, what I mean is my name is Joe.
Confirmation is complete. Please wait while I tattoo your new identity on your arm.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
But Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look, the plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Brondo.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brando's got electrolytes.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Yes, yes, kind of. Trying to get Ted Koppel to go there, you know. So what's the state of America right now? He's got too much class for that. We are live from the heart of our nation.
America's got electrolytes.
And Ted would say, Mike, it's an idiocracy. That's what we're living in right now. We are living in an idiocracy. Live from the heart of our nation's capital in the Podcast Village Studios, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a radio show and podcast with a worldwide network of listeners who get it. If you're here, you are in the... Listen 24/7 on our new PlayaPod app, and all items for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Call us anytime, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show on now and brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Which is to say, are you posting your position to job sites and waiting and waiting? And waiting and waiting and waiting for the right people to see it. Let ZipRecruiter help you. ZipRecruiter is the smarter way. They build a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I want to thank the boys for covering for me yesterday. I was revisiting my just another one of my maladies, and I know they get boring talking about them, but my sleep disorder and my sleep apnea. And I was at the sleep center. Tell the boys this.
Sleep center.
I was at the sleep center and wrapped it all up around 12:30 yesterday when I went into the I Don't Care oxygen supply store to get some of my CPAP stuff.
Oh no!
Welcome to the Fort Myers oxygen store, where their favorite word is out of pocket.
Is that
yes?
It? I think I saw it when I was down there, Mike. Isn't that in the Fort Ambivalent Strip Mall?
Yeah, it's just and then it's great when you get your supplies home, and because she's so busy telling you no. And saying, we can't, and you have to, and spend more money, and do this. It's really great when you get home, and you open up your new supplies, and they don't fit.
Oh, boy.
No.
I'm going back in today.
The wrong cartridge.
And I am going back into it today.
What didn't fit?
The rubber insert into the mask of all the little things. Because... at the other place, after the analysis was complete, I was told this. I was told, you don't have to spend this. This is perfectly good. This is fine, too. All you have to do... those were the words I got from, by the way, my new doctor, because I found out he's not only a specialist, he is going to take regular patients. So I'm going to do a kiss-ass call to him to say, I would like to be in here. That's my... I've talked about him before.
Yeah.
He's the guy that dealt with my my lung thing. It's Julio Conrado. And it's just... it's indescribable how just laid back and cool they are, and they're just helpful. And then I go to this other place and they screw it up. So I was very, very frustrated with that, and I have to go back today. And when I go back today, it's going to be interesting because I'm going to be on a little bit of a hair trigger.
Will you be taking your machine with you?
No, I don't have to. That was yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to do that. And I didn't have to take the machine to the I Don't Care store. I took the machine to the sleep center. You know, this is why I don't talk about it, because it is kind of in the weeds and it's boring.
I want to know what keeps you alive, man.
And it's I don't know. Well, I really don't know.
Speaking of today, a hair trigger,
not that I'm on edge about this, but I'm going to walk in today, and if they make a misstep, first of all, there are plenty of other people that do what they do, so I will be ready to.
Yeah.
you know, just to
not
have
a threat,
that happen, but
a yeah, verbal explosion.
It's just like now, yeah. And then it just like, yeah. Yes, you know, you know when you go to a store and they've got signs,
yeah,
and you walk in and then listen. I realize that I have a few little maladies that I deal with, but when you look at the people around me,
yes,
and you're in this particular location, you're dealing with some people. We just had Ted Koppel on talking about it. You're dealing with some people that have some real issues, and it's obvious to me that these people kind of weigh in and lean on these failing old people all sure. day long. And
well, they got to capture that client before they expire.
That's right. Yeah,
and that's a
meanwhile. You
know, we joke, but there's truth in it. There's
Michael
O'Mara's
gonna be around for a few years,
and then they see Mike come in, and it's
I don't care. Yeah. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
That's her behind the counter. So my conversation when
were
I was calling
were they gum chewers?
Them,
I'm guessing they were all chewing gum.
No. There was no gum. There was no gum. But there was a lady on the lady. There was a lady on the other side who was not the lady I was dealing with. And by the way, when you had a previous experience with this place, I go in. This is the truth. I steel myself for what I know will be difficult people to deal with. So I walk in, and I am not exaggerating. I walk into the store, and I go, good morning. So I really give him my best fake smile. And it's not met with a smile. And you know you're off and running. You're off and running again. Today, they won't be getting that because, you know what? I've already prepared to go to another place down the street if I need to.
Boy, you do live in Florida if there are two supply stores within the street.
Oh, it's probably within 10 blocks.
I'll share with you what I share with my wife. I say, when you want something done, prepare for the worst. Prepare for every option, especially when you're going to go buy something at a store.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, as much as they'd like to, they just don't care as much as you do. Like, they will sell you something and then move on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a vacuum part, if it's a piece of the
when they found
refrigerant.
The part, it was just like, well, I don't know if we have it in stock, but let me look. Oh, is that your way of saying you're going to help me? Is that the way it is?
And they brought it out.
And they didn't put it in the thing. There was just
bring
no
the mask.
Thing.
I'm going to
look.
Make sure it fits.
I'm going to look for it. It's got electrolytes.
It's so that was thank you for covering for me yesterday.
Our pleasure.
Are you going to get the little the surgery you put inside your body so you don't have to carry it around?
No, that wasn't even that. That as a matter of fact, did not even come up. So you know what came up was, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Rob's had these machines. Was they reach into this little machine that you use,
right?
And then they analyze what was done, what your sleeping patterns were.
Yeah.
And then they give you a report card. And mine was really, really good.
You're good. You've lost some weight.
Did they increase your pressure or anything?
What?
Excuse me, Oscar.
Usually you lose weight, you get a better pattern of sleep.
Yeah.
I know. My mom's got this. This is the same ordeal.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, that's it. No, the weight was not to.
But straight A's for you.
No, it just was nice. And
the sleep number did it.
And Jenny. Jenny, the lady there she was very, very easy to deal with on across all levels.
That's great.
If you know what I mean.
I feel you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not, anyway.
Jenny!
I don't want to do that because I don't know if I'll see her again. Anyway, I'm just all ramped up with Ted Koppel and all that.
She's just a friend you haven't met yet.
Yes. And
the boys want to see a
doctors,
picture of you, Jenny. I talked about you on my radio show.
How about a selfie?
And everything was great. A great day. Overall, a pretty darn good day until the Red Sox played the Yankees. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Sheer Girl.
It's Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. If you're listening to the regular Mike O'Mara
show.
Is this
an impression of Jimmy?
Jimmy.
If you already have
a
subscription to the bonus show. You don't have to listen, but if you don't have a subscription, that's terrible. It's not looking good for you. You need to download the bonus show, pay some money, and we need a lot of you and your friends to sign up. Pay a little money to support Mike, Rob,
is that
and I.
Fire in the background?
Don't be terrible. Sign up now.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
The terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible Transformer fire. How did that happen?
Herndon Strong.
He sent me a message. Well, I mean, it was essentially a voice memo that he sent me as a text. So I just put it on with some fire and some street sounds. Jimmy's idea.
So Jimmy recorded that himself?
Yeah, it sounded very like in the bedroom when I got it. I guess it was between episodes of Rawhide.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. With interest rates on the rise, now is the time to refinance your home so you can take cash out and pay off debt before rates go even higher. It makes sense, but it's not an easy process. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're dead in the water. But you don't need to be an expert, because Cornerstone First Financial has all the expertise you need. If you're buying, selling, or refinancing, all you need is Cornerstone First. They know exactly what to do, so even if you don't, you'll still be okay. Try them out. You'll be very, very, very pleasantly surprised at just how easy they make it. Cornerstone First Financial will help you. I promise they will give you sound advice. Click their banner ad on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. You really need to act now. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Well, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yes, late night, and I turned the magic box off because I needed a decent night's sleep for once in my life. And sports games have been affecting me lately. By the way, it looks like your boy will be making the trek up to Tampa Sunday night.
Oh, Tamper. Very cool.
Tamper.
Yeah, I haven't heard from our friend, but I think I will be making our way up solo to and then coming back Sunday night late. And
cocktails at the Mons Venus?
No, not a chance.
That's Oscar's favorite sports bar.
Sounds so
Saturday
great.
Night game, there might be a chance where, and first of all, they wouldn't be at the Mons Venus, but if it was a Saturday night, there might be a hotel room for the kid and a night out with our boy. As it is, just heading up, going to check out the game and then going to come right back. So cool. I'm looking forward to playoff hockey in Tampa. I know there are a lot of our listeners that are saying, go Bolts, but I'm saying let's go Caps, and not the same passion. Not the same passion as when we played Pittsburgh, but I'm excited.
I love that the Mons Venus sign says Mons Venus, and underneath it says nude.
Yes, there it is.
It's a separate sign.
Yes.
No, that's a land long ago, far, far away, Oscar.
When, of the most
some of my golf buddies and I identified a fabulous mother-daughter team that was working in the Mons Venus. That's how you know
you're
in
Tampa. That's almost like vaudeville.
Tampa.
Yeah, wonderful.
Such a novelty.
Showbiz runs in the family, which I think is a
grandma couldn't make it that night.
Wonderful thing. It was the trifecta.
Every picture
the trifecta has sisters. Black light. Yes. Yeah. Oh, the black light.
You know, I'm sorry for burdening you with that whole medical discussion about me, but you know, I'm fascinated by that. I went to a party over the weekend with a medical professional who's a friend of mine, who's a foot guy, foot surgeon. And, you know, I love doctors. I've known doctors for a long, long time, and I've socialized with docs for a long time. And it's very cool when they bust out the video or the pictures, which is...
Oh, because he carries it on his phone, right?
Well, yeah, he likes to, you know, see what's... They do it, I think, to keep a record of what's going on. This dude is at a construction site, and he has a nail gun.
Oh, no.
And he shoots the nail into his heel.
Oh.
All right? So this is explained to me, and he said, yeah, here it is. And he shows me the procedure that's happening, and all you see is a foot. Well, when you see the foot, you see this is what you see. You see a pair of jeans that are nailed to the back of the boot that is nailed to the heel.
So the back of the heel.
The back of the heel.
So
right
not like
underneath
he stepped
the Achilles
on a
tendon.
Oh.
No. Right like ooh, into the Achilles tendon. And I'm looking at that, and it's, you know, you're thinking nail gun. You're thinking they're going to pull a nail out, right? This thing that they pulled out was a serrated nail that was that long, that was about 2 inches long.
Oh.
And, you know, they put the guy under, and they... And you see this. And
God, you almost have to
unscrew
it.
I'm at a pool party, you know, for a kid. By the way, the party I went to, my babysitter's kid graduated nursing school. And so there's a bunch of medical folk around.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there by the pool going, oh, man. It's like the Kevin Nealon bit, you know. you ever use a wood planer and scrape it right over the top of your hand? No. So I'm watching this, and all anybody that was around us would have heard was me going, oh, oh, And when he took this thing out with pliers.
And that's just how he did it? He put him under and yanked it out?
Well, then they have to, like, do some surgery.
Yeah, but it just seems so Old West.
Barbaric.
It's like Westworld.
It's Civil War surgeon.
Yeah,
one
that's
of my all-time favorite bits. Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon. He never makes house calls. And everything, of course, would be amputation, which was, I thought it was a great bit.
It was.
I was always proud of that
bit. I love that.
He never makes house calls, and you hear a saw. Yeah, anyway, I could be, that's a.
I wonder if that is any sort of compromise of the patient-doctor confidentiality when he's whipping out the cell phone video.
Don't say that. I don't want to get anybody in trouble because I practically identified.
He didn't show the face.
No face.
He's not a face doctor. He's a foot doctor.
People do breast augmentation. They take video of that. No problem.
Sure.
That's right.
That's a category.
You know, as long as you see it, you just show the nipple, you're okay, right? I mean, that's the way. Well, no,
that's
the
policy
on the website.
At the foot doctor.
I think Mac wants to weigh in on this.
Why?
Yes, Mac. Yeah.
Why would I want to weigh in?
Because you know about the women's, you know what you're into.
Am I?
Yeah.
Do I?
We all know, Mac, that you go to the breast surgeon, the plastic surgeon websites and look at the boobs.
Yes.
Of course, all the time.
But he's more into full bush.
He's the only guy I know that goes to a plastic surgeon and tries to get behind the paywall. Premium content.
Push full bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you, Mac?
Doing good. I actually have a story that I wanted to tell.
Would you like to tell it in the next break? Because we do have to break the commercial.
I will be glad to do that.
We're going to have
a little bit, yeah.
He's like a human being.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new feature on the Mike O'Mara Show that just came out of left field because I really didn't have anything prepared other than Koppel. It's Mike McIntosh's Story Corner.
Love it.
We're going to do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thanks, Mac. We'll be right back.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Big or small, tall or skinny, it doesn't matter one little bit because you're playing one of the greatest rock and roll songs in the history of music, Dire Straits, Hit It Boys! That's right, Power 105, WAVA! Hope you're having a fantastic day. That's right, I bet Justify in a trifecta and won $13. Yeah, the odds weren't that good on the horse, but that's okay. There's always the Preakness, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're going, don't forget to see the Power Porsche on display next to the WAVA man. We'll see you there.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah, talk up some records on the bonus show.
It's a fun bonus this week.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Here's a fact. I've never had a better shave than the shave I get with my Harry's. The best blades, the best shave gel, the best of everything. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/TMOS. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years.
Looky here. Look what I did this morning. Looks like the Death Star, doesn't it?
Shaved
my head this morning.
The dome.
And with that Harry's shaving gel, oh my God, it's the greatest.
Dome! If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days. They'll give you a full refund. Get this special $13 value trial set. It comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Our listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure you go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know that I sent you to help support the show. Start shaving. I always get that wrong. Start saving while you're shaving.
That's it.
There you go. God almighty.
Hey, before we get to Mac, are allergies a thing down there?
I don't know. They had a new story on the local news about it, that a lady is unable to even leave the house because of the allergies down here in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, my car has turned from black to a lovely shade of green from all the yellow powder up here. It's horrible.
Yeah, and that means that, summer is here. Summer is knocking on the door. What is the temperature in Washington, D.C.?
It will crest 90 today, and humidity bearing its teeth for the first time today.
See, that is the way it is up there. You don't get spring anymore.
No,
it goes from winter to summer, bingo bango. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we're going to start a wonderful new regular feature Well, I lied about the last part. It's time for Mac's Storybook Corner.
Mike, it's it's right now just a segment. Don't call it a feature, please. Yes.
First of all, Michael McIntosh, how are you?
I'm doing well. Job's going good. This actually has to do with that. Something I discovered about one of my coworkers there.
Now, before we start, because we don't have to steamroll right into it, I'll help you along. You've lost some weight. What do you attribute your weight loss to?
I stopped drinking sugared sodas.
Oh, that's a biggie. Hey, that's like Pony stopping smoking.
Yeah.
Pony,
yeah.
You're still not smoking, right?
Not smoking.
Yeah. So how many days, Pony, with you?
I'd say it's been since February 14th. It's been over 2 months and over a month of like no nicotine, period, after getting off the patch.
That's so great.
It's got to be every week. It's just you're making strides of it. You look better. Yeah. Your color's better. That's awesome. Mac, you stopped sugary soda. That's bad for you as well. I'm happy to say that. Work is going well, and you got promoted recently, didn't you, at Petco?
At PetSmart. I'm sorry.
PetSmart.
Get it right.
Right. Okay. I'll get it right, tough guy. You bet your ass I will. So what did you discover about one of your coworkers?
Hard drive cables came into the store, and
Do they get excited when that happens?
I did.
Do the employees run up and down the aisles going, "The hard drive cables are here!
You see, I said that exact thing, and then I decided to play that video of the chimney sweepers.
Okay, well, I think you were... Weren't you referring to the jerk?
Yeah, I was kind of doing a jerk.
Yeah, the jerk thing. Well, yeah, but his also
mine
works.
Was the hard drive cables are here. The hard drive cables are here.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I understand. Nerds so that you're a big day at Micro Center when that happens.
Yeah. So what happens is, I go onto my station and start playing it really loudly so everyone in the shop can hear.
So when you say your station, like your workstation,
my workstation. Yeah.
Okay, how does that set up?
It's pretty much like almost like a cubicle where I have a desk on either side. And
what is the song he's talking about, Rob?
Oh, the chimney sweep song. 1-800-CHIMNEY. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, step in time.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
C-H-I-M-N-E-Y.
Okay, very good, very good. That's what you were playing, Mac?
Yes, I was playing that in the shop. And then one of my coworkers...
And they said, wise promotion. This man cannot be stopped.
There we go.
So I start playing, and then one of my coworkers comes over and, "Why are you playing that song of A Step in Time?" And so I'm like, "Oh, you know of it?" He didn't just know of it. He worked for them.
He worked for the chimney sweep company.
He worked for A Step in Time.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
That really is.
We don't have it.
I thought we were past it. I thought you get
Well, no,
of
he's
it.
Taught the whole bit is centered around the, you know, the whole jingle. So, I mean, he was a chimney sweep?
He was a chimney sweep for A Step in Time.
Oh, that's exciting.
The chimney sweep is here. The chimney sweep is here. A step in time. A step in time. Gonna make your chimney shine.
Rob isolated us how many years ago?
Oh, this was
a decade ago.
We were on terrestrial radio.
Oh, a long time ago. One of the worst jingles of all time.
Oh, both verses.
I wish you were down here because you could collect some beauties down here that they have. Low budget advertising. By the way, Billy Fasillo, the Kia guy that it's huge.
It's huge.
You know, he jettisoned his old chippy that he had with him, and he's got he's got a new babe.
Well,
and
that's a fair, almost like a bi-yearly thing. Like every 2 years, doesn't he do that?
I don't know.
Trades
he
up?
Had Caroline with him a long time.
But didn't he phase Caroline out and he had a Hispanic lovely that helped him out?
No, she's still there.
Okay.
He brought the Hispanic lady in. And by the way, she does Hispanic Spanish language commercials.
Ah.
And she also does regular commercials. And now he's got the brand new lady who, has the bleach blonde. And I won't discuss the... descriptor that my wife puts on her.
Slut!
But anyway, she comes in. And that's not fair. But
that's
she,
fine. Does she ever say she's not as pretty as she thinks she is?
But she is there, and then he does this thing where it's amazing that these ads run during the Me Too era, because he will take his meat hooks and he will drape his arms over both of these women. He's big on that. He's a big guy, and he's big on going, "I gotta,
I got a great deal on these kids. They're coming in huge.
And he puts his giant meat hooky arms around both women, and they look strangely. They're great actresses because they look strangely comfortable with him.
Strangely
doing
comfortable
this,
is a good description.
No one likes the arm draped over them. I have to point that out. Whether it be a male or a female, it's done in sports sometime, you know, where you see that, and I don't care for it.
It's
and
an overly friendly gesture, never well received. Do you think the reason
it's a dominant gesture? It's a gesture of power.
It's like he owns them almost.
Didn't Sam Huff do it to you once?
Yeah, well, that was on a plane.
That's
when he
true.
Was, making a point that he didn't want us to say bad things about him, and we were afeared.
Yes, I guess so.
So
but do you think
the
reason those spots exist in the Me Too movement, do things move at a different speed in Florida? Is it a different environment than, say, the national consciousness?
I think that Billy Fasillo right now would be, and he has been successful in multiple markets.
Yeah.
I think that the only reason that he is a stone cold lockdown here is because advertising rates are cheaper and he can saturate the airwaves. The guy had his own cable channel for a while.
That's right. He is
everywhere and he can buy so much advertising, and that's the business model. So everybody knows him, but it appeals to people because of, A, the saturation of the ads.
Yeah.
You see him
He's a personality, yeah.
And Kia looks good. Let's go to that guy that does the guy thing because he's on TV all the time. But I don't know if it's the Florida consciousness that does not get fazed by that, but he does have more of like the Florida beach babe now.
Sure.
Who's next
to him. Well, that's another, I mean, he's a personality, and there's a little, you know, eye candy. So, I mean, what's not to like?
Well, she doesn't hit the alarm for yourself. She doesn't talk as much as the previous person, and she doesn't seem to be required to. That's all I wanted to say about this particular spokesmodel. So, Mac, you're a chimney sweep guy. What did he say after? Did you have a discussion with him about it? What happened?
I talked about him. He left the company not on good terms, so I'm not going to say his name.
Oh, okay. Why did he say why he left and what were the bad terms?
He did not. He did say why the bad terms. Because he said his boss was a dick.
Okay. Oh wow!
But we found
unless
out that
of course
that place
his
is
boss
still-
was Dick Van Dyke as the chimney sweep in Mary Poppins.
It all makes sense.
Chimmery.
Great accent.
You sound like you're getting so much more gregarious at the Micro Center. You're just having these conversations and dare I say it, are there any people looking up to you now for guidance at Micro Center since you're a veteran? No?
God, no.
No.
They treat me almost like, they treat me very poorly. Oh. But
now I got a problem with that because you're, you know what? On the Island of Misfit Toys, which is the Mike O'Mara show, you know, we gave you a hard time like everybody else, but we welcomed you into the bosom of our family. And I don't like it when one of my kids is being treated poorly at some other location. Is there anybody I need to call?
In a joking manner. We do it with everyone.
You bust balls.
Yeah, we bust balls.
Like we do here on the show.
And I am I'm a common target.
Oh, okay.
You lend yourself to that.
I return the...
Steal yourself for that, because that'll be the rest of your life.
I return the favor.
Now, I would guess that the...
Listen to his confidence, Pony.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Doesn't he sound like he's just stepping up? I'm just so proud.
Very different.
This place has helped me.
I know it has. I can
take any criticism and not feel bad about it.
That's great. That's good. That's a very good
I love hearing your joy and your positivity and your voice. You were such a moping, sad sack when you joined us. And now look at you. Yes, Rob, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I would guess that the staff, I'm just guessing, that the staff at Micro Center is largely male. Is that true?
Yes.
Are there any females that work there?
Yes, not in our department, though.
All right, but as you cover the store.
Keep them away. They keep them away. Like staying out of a fire anthill.
They mostly sell printer paper.
Don't go in there.
Don't let the women work near the floor. Please don't. You remember the last guy. Can you imagine that? The guys, what if they put a Billy Fasillo spokesmodel on the floor at Micro Center? My God, the guys would all have to sit down for the entire shift. It would be ridiculous.
I just wanted to know, is there any flirting that goes on among the staff? And I'm not saying that you're the flirter or the flirty. Just, is there any flirting? Yes.
Only between a person who's already has a girlfriend with another staff member. So there's
You need to make that clearer.
There are two people who work there who are already dating.
So they flirt because they're dating.
Yes, but other than that, not really.
Do you ever shoot a glance at one of those ladies?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever get a real stone cold hottie come in looking for like USB cables or anything like that?
I need a mouse.
Yes. Definitely yes.
Do they get extra help?
Always.
Yeah. Okay. Max is...
My monitor! My monitor went out! My monitor!
Sorry. I had to do that. So is that it, Mac? Is that your little story? Is that it? Are you
That's
done?
Pretty much it.
Yeah, Brush
That's
with Greatness.
That's a great story. Mm-hmm. I love your story. Join us next year for Mac's Story Corner.
Yeah.
We'll have that for you in 2019. It's going to be very, very special.
His next story is going to be, have you, you know those Billy Fusillo commercials? I've seen them too.
It's Mike McIntosh's annual story. We will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, this is Maddie, and so far on Guilty Pleasures, we've heard from ASMR addicts, stuffed animal collectors, reality TV junkies, and now we want to hear from you. Do you want to air out a secret pleasure that's been weighing you down? Do you find joy in something that's socially unacceptable? Are you one of the many middle-aged men that apparently love Dawson's Creek? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the Maddie's Guilty Pleasure podcast is the place for you. Join us on the More Network as two Maddies from Buffalo talk about our weird habits and yours. Email your guiltiest pleasure to pleasure@mikeomaraShow.com to have those secrets lifted off of your shoulders. And be sure to tune in to see how your weird habits compare. And remember, it's okay to be really, really, really different.
That's the In Crowd by the Ramsey Lewis. What?
when I watch myself dance in the monitor, I realize how old I am. That was like the worst old man dance.
That was not very good. I mean, the only way you could have made it better is if you bit down and stuck your lip out, you know, like looking cool. Yeah, looking good.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Still the best way to get what you need. However, if you want to make sure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase, you got to do it right. So listen up. Just click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. It's super easy, and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
Mike, is there anything more expensive than a funeral?
Oh, wow. I've had several.
I know, and they really are. They're a bear to plan and very costly, yes. Which is why think about buying your casket on Amazon. This was mentioned on yesterday's show.
Wow. And
this is from a company called Overnight Caskets. This is the mother pink finish with light pink interior, 18-gauge metal coffin. It actually has the word mother embroidered in the lid, and it's a beautiful thing for mother. Also, it comes with a full rubber gasket seal and a pillow.
And
it's,
pillow.
It's yours for
put the dead head on something.
Yeah, it's yours for $1,199 and free shipping. And you can get it at Amazon, the mother casket.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find the casket and more at the top of MikeOmeraShow.com. So get clicking, help the show, and go to the top of our homepage for Amazon.com, ladies and gentlemen.
News.
By the way, if you haven't heard Oscar's voice in the last 10 minutes, Oscar had to step out at Podcast Village to help another podcast. So he's doing that right now. So I wanted to tell everybody that.
Was going fine.
Well, most people wouldn't have noticed.
That's right.
Rob Lowe and his wife Cheryl have been married for almost 27 years. But like lots of couples, they annoy each other in bed. On Ellen yesterday, Rob said, quote, "I sleep better on the road because I'm not with my wife. People, it's the truth. I love her enough to speak the truth." You know, don't you think Rob Lowe maybe should be careful? I still remember when he was having some fun on the road. Do you remember at the convention that video?
He's got a storied past and a checkered history, but somehow he's bounced back.
He's by it now. He's moved by. The reason for it's a struggle for Rob Lowe to sleep next to his wife, Cheryl, is because she's up until all hours playing Family Feud on her iPad. He says, quote, "She wakes me up like, honey, honey, quick, name five foods that are gross." I'm like, I just want to go to bed. Sounds like a contrived story, but I led with it on the news. What does that tell
you? Well, it's very, Ted Koppel would be proud.
He'd be very thrilled. Peppa from Salt and Peppa. We had her identified when we were playing John Mulaney's monologue, where he talked about Sir Patrick Stewart in introducing Salt and Peppa. And that's why this jumped out at me. Peppa, P-E-P-A, from Salt and Peppa, is dating a guy named Andre, A-U-N-D-R-E, Andre Dean.
Andre, yeah.
The only problem is he's married with a kid.
Oh, no.
And his wife is pregnant.
Oh, dear. Andre.
And she apparently can spit fire. Peppa, whose real name is Sandra Denton, posted a picture of herself with Andre.
Why doesn't she use that name as a rapper?
Salt and Sandra Denton. She posts a picture of herself to wish him a happy birthday, and she said, quote, keep pushing and being a good dad, and God will handle the rest. Well, Andre's wife lost it.
Oh,
she
dear.
Replied, quote, when mistresses talk about God, it's laughable. She added that Andre isn't even paying child support or making visits with the son he already has because Peppa is, quote, parading him around the country. She added, quote, good dads don't stress their pregnant wives out for 15 minutes of fame with a D-list has-been senior citizen celebrity.
Wow. Peppa Denton.
Sources differ on Peppa's birthday, but she's somewhere between 48 and 53. There we go. Peppa!
Peppa!
The world has been turned upside down over the last few years, and nothing seems to make sense, but at least one thing has been put back where it's supposed to be. Woody Harrelson is smoking weed again.
Hey, yeah. Thank goodness for that.
And we have Willie Nelson to thank. In case you missed it, Woody told his story earlier this week. He said, quote, he was never comfortable with me quitting. It just bothered him. This is Willie. Hey, why you quit?
Wow, I would always say, that shows a problem. When you worry about other people's not smoking
way,
weed.
I'm getting all my show prep from Ellen now. This was also on Ellen.
Ellen, yeah.
Woody says, I would always say, Willie, you know I'm not smoking. He would always do the same thing like he was hearing it for the first time. Oh, really? Sorry. This happened like 500 times. I guess they hang out together a bit.
Well, also, that probably was like the first time every time because you smoke that much weed, you got no memory left.
Yeah, there's no short term.
Right.
Woody finally caved after a game of poker. He told Ellen, quote, I take a big draw of it. And Willie says, welcome home, son. God.
Willie Nelson, now 120.
Woody told Ellen that he quit for 2 years other than an edible here and there.
So he didn't quit.
He didn't really quit.
Jerk.
Here are the results from a new survey on women's deep, deep love of shoes. I'll go 5-1 on this one. Number 5, 1 in 3 women have hidden a shoe purchase from their significant other. Number 4, not my, in my household, I'm sorry, I don't care.
No, well, that doesn't, with Carrie's feet, you can't hide the shoes. Am I right,
number
ladies?
Number 4, she got a big dog,
yeah.
Carrie?
Yeah, it runs in the family.
Okay. Number 4, 1 in 4 women have worn shoes while they got it on. That works for me.
Yeah, I can do that. Heels?
Number 3, 70% have asked a stranger where they got their shoes. I can see that happening. Number 2, 25% own some shoes that are more than 12 years old. And number 1, ladies and gentlemen, this is the super biggie. 72% of women own more than 21 pairs of shoes.
Wow. Mm. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
When it comes golf shoes, probably 4 pairs of golf shoes.
Okay.
I recently got a pair of tennis shoes, and then I have probably 6 pairs of regular dress
shoes. Say, yeah,
I play. I have a pair of desert boots that I ride motorcycles.
Yeah, I would say like 6 to 8 for me. I usually have a backup pair of older Birkenstocks just in case, but they're worn down.
Those aren't shoes.
Well, yes,
those
they are. They're footwear.
Those are tragic, unstylish.
No.
You know. Pieces of rock you put. Don't take them
look.
Off. Oh, I can smell it from here. That is so nasty.
No odor at all.
So nasty.
It smells like German efficiency and a cork negative heel.
Oscar, come back. Yesterday, Papa John's announced they are going to sell gallon jugs of their garlic sauce.
Oh, someone please get me an air sickness bag.
They'll cost $20 each. They go on sale on Friday at some of their stores and online. Those are the little packets of sauce that they give you to put on the pizza that tastes like crap.
A mini tub, right?
All right, very good. Just so you know, the 1 ounce cups of garlic sauce have about 150 calories and 17 grams of fat. How do they put the fat in the garlic sauce? Come on.
Well, it's based on butter. So you say the 1 ounce has that much?
1 ounce, so a gallon of the stuff will set you back more than 19,000 calories and 2,100 grams of fat. And I think when you have to sell a side sauce for a pizza, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
okay?
The pizza should be good on its own.
You know what? We had pizza the other night. I hadn't had pizza in months, and it was fantastic. And you know where it came from?
Where?
A little place down the road. We were out. I told you we were out.
Pizzeria?
At the
Guanaria?
Tiki place.
Yes.
We were out at the Tiki place, and they don't have food there. You have to go to the restaurant next door. They brought in pizza from Taco Viva.
Was it a Mexican pizza?
No, it was actually real pizza. And it
wow.
tasted great. I had a white pizza.
Oh. It's always color with you.
It's always color. It was delicious. It was it was like good enough where I might go to Taco Viva for pizza.
And you know what else? Don't
go
put
figure,
cheese in the crust, Pizza Hut. Don't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, really.
Just make a pizza, please.
Isn't it Papa John's? Isn't it
I think they all do it now, but Pizza Hut,
Papa
I think
John's is the garlic sauce.
That
so.
That really makes my mouth water like I'm about to puke.
What is your go? I know the Speewax have a go-to takeout
Absolutely.
Pizza.
Lido.
What is it?
Lido. But Lido, Lido doesn't oh. deliver.
Okay.
So if you need a delivery, you go to Manhattan.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
And now a little something-something. 28-year-old Raimundo Aspiro was hanging out with some friends at Lake Havasu in Arizona on Saturday, and his friend made a bet with someone about how far they could drive into the lake without getting their SUV stuck. It's not clear if Raimundo... that's a beer bet, isn't it?
Yeah, here, hold my beer.
See how far you can go with it. See how far... Or see how far you can go with it. It's not clear if Raimundo was on the other side of the bet or not, but he was one of the passengers. And, of course, they did get stuck while their SUV was about halfway submerged. So, I wish so I was at that
who
party.
Who wins?
No word on how much damage it caused, but the SUV had to be towed out of the water. And then the cops showed up.
Good.
And while they were there, they realized that Raimundo was wanted on an outstanding warrant.
Oh, no.
So they took him straight to jail. And that, of course, is why we call Arizona Florida in the desert. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way. Way to go.
Raimundo. It's on the flag, isn't it?
Florida of the desert. Welcome to Arizona. We'll take a break. When we come back, Rob's got some little audio sounds right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Shalomi, my homies. Intern Emily here. If you haven't heard, I'm shipping off to Israel for the next month. I'll be climbing mountains, trekking through the desert, and even floating in the Dead Sea. But whatever will I do with my downtime? Luckily, TMOS is now available on Spotify. It's easier than ever to listen wherever and whenever you want. And the best part? It's free! So check out The Mike O'Mara Show on Spotify. Tov, yalla, bye.
Emily, stay safe over there.
Yeah.
Not a cool time to be going over there, but I hope she's okay. Yeah, it's just a weird world.
A weird time. Back weird time.
To the Mike O'Mara Show. Did you know that Sunday is Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Well, it is, you idiot. Why not celebrate with the mother of all premium podcasts, the TMOS Bonus Show, 60 extra minutes of uncensored, commercial-free fun. Tell your mama it's the bomba. It's the most fun we have all week, so buy it for your mother's sake. The TMOS Bonus Show will make mother weep with joy as she adds your name back into her will as a sign of her deep appreciation.
Mm.
Yes, mom won't be around forever.
So true.
Oh, God.
Hey, you know, look at our Amazon buy of the day.
Oh, my. But the bonus show will live on and on. So invest in something that lasts, the TMOS Bonus Show. As James Brown once said, mother popcorn, you've got to have a mother for me. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. Let's make the TMOS bonus show grow like one of Jason Robards' eyebrow hairs. He's dead.
But his hair is still growing.
So please quit sucking, and we thank you. Open the door. There
thank
it is.
You.
It's time for the audio vault for Thursday, May 10th, 2018. Rob Speedway.
I want to just a tip of the Mike O'Mara Show hat to Ben McDaniel. He is so generous with his time and his talent.
Oh,
he provided us with a new
kid.
Jingle. So every time we get a female caller when we do Wide Open Wednesday, we now have this.
O'Mara Chicks.
O'Mara Chicks. He actually he did that by request. By some
so
of the
electronic the way he does it. It's not. It's his voice. That's
it is.
Cool.
He's
Can
so
I hear that
good.
One more time?
O'Mara Chicks.
There we go. Thank
Precision,
you. Thank
man.
You very much, Ben.
Do you
we
like
have a talented
when he,
audience.
Sometimes he posts the sheet music of his vocal arrangements. It's just amazing
really?
That he does it. Yeah, he arranges every track. Cool.
That's cool. That's something that would excite you.
Let's talk about Douglas County, Georgia. All right?
All right.
They were doing what they do in Georgia. They were having a cornhole tournament for charity.
I love cornhole.
Well, words were exchanged.
Uh-oh.
And it didn't go well.
Oh,
and
no.
A melee broke out at the cornhole tournament.
Oh, that's not cool.
I have audio of the melee, but also, I guess, the master of ceremonies who got things back under control.
On mic. Video.
Bring it up.
Stop it right now! We will stop this tournament! This is stupid! This is absolutely
absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here. We will stop this tournament right now. We are adults, and this is ridiculous. It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser.
The thing is you have to imagine about 20 guys all over the weight of 275, okay? And they're just running into each other and swinging and flailing. And right below them are those stupid platforms that you use to play cornhole. And they're going, and then that lady
is.
This
is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah,
that's right, Ann.
This is stupid.
So, you want to hear the melee one more time?
No, that's fine. Just play her. Just play her one more time.
This is absolutely ridiculous. This is stupid.
Thank you, dear.
I bet she's pretty.
I bet she's gorgeous.
And fun to be with. Now, Metallica is touring Europe right now. Right. And it seems to be their thing is that one time every show, they play a song that is not a Metallica song. In fact, something that is decided anti-Metallica. In Sweden this week, they played Aha.
I don't know what I'm to say. I say it anyway. Today's another day.
And it's so sloppy, it makes me think they don't really practice it. They just get up and they do it. And great band.
Such a great song, too, that they're covering.
Listen to the audience. They're
into it.
They
just do it for fun?
Yeah.
They just do it for fun.
They cheat. They use the guitar.
The guitar.
But I think that's neat. They've done all songs, so I keep checking in and seeing, you know, what they're doing in every tour, which is sort of something exciting. Hey, here's something to make you feel old. Do you remember the show John and Kate Plus Eight, the Gosselin family that had sextuplets?
Yeah,
sextuplets. Do you know the sextuplets turned 14 today?
Wow.
Yeah.
And they, you know, that just turned out to be such a total train wreck.
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
Isn't he like a DJ now? Isn't he?
I think he doesn't even, I don't think he even can qualify for that. That was what he did for a while. Okay. I know they divorced when the sextuplets were 2 years old.
All right.
And the show continued. Anyway, this is the opening to the original
John
show.
John and I both always knew we wanted to have kids.
So formulaic.
I never imagined we'd have this many.
We weren't able to get pregnant on our own, so we turned to fertility treatments.
And we were thrilled when we had our twin girls, Kara and Maddie.
Then, when we decided to have just one more, we got six more.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
And I quit my job as a nurse to stay home full-time with the kids.
This
and although the stress of having two sets of multiples doesn't always bring out the best in us.
Honey, stand up and help them in. They're having trouble. Hello?
We're a family. We're in this together.
Stupid.
It might be a crazy life.
Do we have all the kids?
But it's our life.
That's from the show John and Kate Plus Cornhole.
You and I commiserate on the Duggars. And
oh,
this.
God, yeah.
You and I have always had similar mindsets on this fascination we have with breeding quantity in America. We are our media feeds on this like the, and it's dissipated somewhat, has it not?
It
but
has.
But if you get a quintuplet or a sextuplet, they still just love
it.
Hey,
to
we
me,
get all
it is
these
so,
kids.
It is so unsavory somehow. It just seems
well, the
wrong.
Duggars were.
Well, they
the
did
Duggars
it one at a time.
Doing it to make bank. And
yeah,
well, I
of
guess
course.
So were John and Kate.
No, they it's had like, they had twins and then six at a time.
And
so
the Octomom,
they did it in two litters.
Don't they? Doesn't shouldn't people understand that every one of these multiple families, they end up trying to make hay out of it.
Of
they
course.
Try to make a living out of exploiting it immediately. Now, some might make the argument, well, they need the money because they have that many kids, but I don't think so. I think it's the cart before the horse.
I do believe back in the 30s there were quintuplets in Canada that they like sold tickets to see them. Yeah, I mean, like a sideshow fair, and that was stupid.
This is stupid.
We love freaks.
We do. We absolutely do. You mentioned Woody Harrelson. He's doing all the press now because he's in the Solo movie, the new Star Wars film that drops, I believe, a week from Friday. Do you know who he went to college with? He went to a small college and had a very famous roommate. Do you know who it is?
I do not.
This surprised me because I really don't see them in the same circles.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Hanover College.
Hanover College.
Yeah.
Mike Pence was a student at Hanover College while you were there.
Yes, that's true.
And you knew him?
I know him. We're both very religious. It was a Presbyterian college at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was there on a Presbyterian scholarship. And
really?
He was involved with the, you know, church activities.
When you say you were there on a Presbyterian scholarship, were you were so good at being Presbyterian? They drafted you and gave you a scholarship?
No, I was actually considering being a minister, and then I just kind of went a different way.
Yeah, you did.
Woody.
Okay, love, I mean, Woody. Can you imagine they were that in the same... Woody Harrelson could be our vice president. It's, you know, not out of the question.
You like Star Wars more than I do. Do you get bummed out? I just like, I want Woody to make better movies. I want Woody...
I want to see him, like... where he can be Woody Harrelson. Yeah. I see him in the solo picture, and I think the solo picture is going to be very good, but right, I see him as stunt casting.
Woody might get me to the solo.
I'll let you know. I think the kids and I will go opening night because that's what we like to do.
All right, let me know if it's worthy of it. Because
I like Woody when he was Larry Flint. Allowed him to just really sort of act and be nutty.
I love Woody in Three Billboards. Yes. Woody was great.
Oh, God,
all the
clips I saw were great.
I love Woody in True Detective. And by the way, I would love to see a reunion of Woody and Matthew McConaughey, and it doesn't have to be a buddy picture, but put those two on screen together. Yeah. It's magic. I'd love to see them together.
All right, let's close with this. Jimmy Kimmel last night talking about Trump taking time out of his busy day to meet up with those Korean prisoners that were released, I believe, after 3 years.
President Trump is on high alert. He is at Andrews Air Force Base waiting to greet the three American detainees who were released by North Korea today after months in confinement. Boy, these guys are in for some shock when they're met at the airport by President Trump. Whoa, wait, President who? When did this happen?
Yeah, think about it. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's fantastic. By the way, a good week for the president, believe it or not. And we will be talking about that on Political Persuasions this week with the release of those prisoners.
Yes.
Always, some might say, hostages. We want to thank the legendary Ted Koppel for joining us on the show. If you want to find out more about COPD, it's copdfoundation.org. And Ted was wonderful, and what an honor for this journalism student who talked to Ted that many years ago to have him on the show. Way to go, Ted Koppel. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao. Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.